What a difference a year makes. Facebook kindly informed me that Sourcecast officially posted its first episode 1 year to go today. And I promised I wouldn't do another milestone episode until we reached a 1 year mark. Here we are, 45 episodes later. And as I sit here in a dark room, hoping that my son doesn't make any noise upstairs, I'm asking myself, and I'm asking you, my listeners, what did we learn this year? Let's find out. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 45. Before I get too self-congratulatory, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last week. Salesforce. You gotta give them credit. They have been on a tear this year. They have been snapping up companies left and right. I mention a new company almost every week. And with so many acquisitions, you would have to assume they are operating from some kind of master strategy document. And it's possible that that master strategy document was released to the press this week. A PowerPoint presentation, reportedly coming from Salesforce, lists 14 potential M&A targets. Some of the companies on that list were Marketo, Adobe, HubSpot, Pegasystems, Demandware, Tableau, and this must be an older list because LinkedIn was on there, who was acquired by Microsoft, by the way. Box and Zendesk were also mentioned, but apparently their chief executives were not interested. As you can imagine, several of the companies that were named in the list have seen increased stock prices. If this document is legitimate, somebody's head's going to roll. Speaking of Salesforce, WePro likes them so much and wants to do so much business with them that they're buying a company called Aperio, which does quite a bit of consulting and configuration work for Salesforce and Workday. This is a $500 million all-cash acquisition and is expected to close at the end of the year. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise may be having some minor issues with their reported spin merge with CSC. BizJournal reports, the combination of these two companies will create a new company with billions in global revenue, including a sizable U.S. federal government business. However, the government sector of the new, yet unnamed company may be impacted by the cost takeouts planned by the merger and the distractions of yet another major company reorganization. And let's not forget, the CSC recently spun off their government services business and may not be able to compete with the company they just spun off. BizJournal certainly has it right when they say the M&As are a distraction. So what have we learned this year? The very first episode of Sourcecast focused on Dell's acquisition of EMC, the largest IT acquisition in recent history. In that first episode, I have to admit that I was shocked at the news. It is a year later, and not only has the acquisition been finalized, but the two companies are actively working on merging their cultures. For months, I questioned whether or not the Dell-EMC merger was a good idea. Would they be too huge? Would it be too much of a distraction? And while those issues remain to be answered at this point, my position has softened. I don't know if the new Dell is the best in any particular category, but what they are able to offer customers is scale. You can buy anything from Dell: cloud, desktops, printers, storage, enterprise servers. And I'm sure there has to be economies of discount when you're buying in all those different categories. It's interesting to see acquisition becoming Dell's response to shrinking margins in the hardware market. But as Dell grows, one of their major competitors, Hewlett-Packard, shrunk like crazy. Not only did it split into two major companies, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and Hewlett-Packard Inc., then Hewlett-Packard Inc. took the toxic asset of Autonomy and sold it off for pennies to OpenText. Then, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise announced two spin merges. They are spinning off their consulting services with CSC, which we mentioned earlier, and now they're also spinning off their software business with Micro Focus. The remaining Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is basically focused on data centers, its storage, and its servers. And that's it. That's all that's left. Many analysts believe this is Meg Whitman's attempt at finally selling off the company. She couldn't do it in one piece, so she's breaking it apart and selling it off in pieces. And then you look at Microsoft, IBM, and Oracle. All three companies are trying to transition to cloud models. Of the three, Microsoft is the most successful. Microsoft has been doing things that customers have been asking for decades. They're embracing open source. They gave away Windows 10 for free. They're obviously downshifting off of mobile, and they're going all in with their Azure platform. And it seems to be working. The company is successfully making subscription-based cloud versions of their classic software like Office and Outlook, and they're introducing new technologies either through acquisition or through development like their competitor to Slack and their acquisition of Skype. Microsoft is making some very smart moves, and it's paying off with their stock and with customer reception. And their Surface laptops have been very well received in the last year. It's not to say that their transformation has been perfect, but it has been one of the more successful ones. Looking at IBM and Oracle, I've discussed both companies quite a bit over the last year. IBM is doing some very interesting things. It's unclear if they will be successful, but their acquisition of analytics companies, their acquisition of medical companies, and their acquisition of marketing firms certainly gives them unique opportunities within the market. Let's step back and look at what Hewlett-Packard did with their consulting services. Companies like IBM and Hewlett-Packard, who traditionally had very good consulting revenues, have struggled in the last 5 years. The combination of cloud and offshore resources have really hit their bottom lines. Hewlett-Packard responded to this by selling off former electronic data systems, EDS, and whatever consulting they had in-house at the time. They sold those off. IBM responded to these lower margins by massive job eliminations. IBM was cutting up to 100,000 jobs this year, and it was mostly in the consulting services space. IBM's refuted a lot of those eliminations by stating they have thousands of job openings in other areas like analytics, cloud, and AI, which could very well be the truth. But they are clearly de-emphasizing professional services, and they are focusing on canned, easily deployable IT solutions. And Oracle, who laughed at the cloud years ago, is now struggling to gain entry. They're doing this through acquisition. They're acquiring a bunch of cloud firms, and they're also trying to slowly convert their traditional software titles from proprietary licensing models to subscription cloud-based models. They'll eventually get there, but will they do it in enough time? From a cloud perspective, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon are the leaders in cloud. Amazon is the biggest. They're making like $11 to $14 billion a year in their cloud solution right now, and it's only going to grow. Amazon, Google, and Microsoft are also going after the IBMs and the Oracles and the Hewlett-Packards by offering database tools and artificial intelligence tools built into their cloud solutions. Microsoft obviously has a footprint with their SQL Server. They've been offering it for years, but they've been improving it from a technological perspective. And customers have been looking for alternatives to Oracle solutions. Oracle is known to have difficult relationships with their customers, but they have an excellent database product, which is very hard to get away from up until recently. So what did all of those words mean? The migration to the cloud is inevitable. There are companies that are going to hold out as long as they can due to security concerns, due to infrastructure concerns, but the companies that are providing the equipment and the services and the software, they're all going in this direction. So maybe it'll be a hybrid cloud, maybe it'll be a 100% cloud, but this is clearly the direction that the industry is going in. EMC agreeing to be purchased is a very clear indication to me that cloud storage really will be the future. It's cheaper, it's easier to maintain and manage. Over the last year, I've quoted several former EMC employees that have stated they just can't compete with these cloud solutions. And I've also stated before that, of course, there will be scenarios where in-house data solutions and storage solutions have to be maintained, but there will be a vast migration to the cloud. On an enterprise level, I'm not talking about home personal use. And when we get to the cloud and we have all of this data that's available at our fingertips and in multiple devices and in multiple methods, companies will sell solutions that show us how to manage and do analytics against this data and introduce artificial intelligence that automatically scans it and makes sense of it and produces results and reports. This is the direction that we're all going in. But in this big three, or really there is a big four of cloud, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and IBM. And IBM, for those of you who don't know, bought a company called SoftLayer, and they've been bundling this SoftLayer as their BlueMix platform for their Internet of Things and ultimately for Watson. They haven't done a great job of combining all of these things to date, but that's their vision. Everything's going to fall under BlueMix, applications, AI, hosting. And I think the upside to IBM is because of all the unique purchases they've made over the last few years, their focus on healthcare analytics and other industry-specific programs and companies, they know how to sell to large corporate entities. They are buying these things to package and resell them to large corporate clients. They're bread and butter. And maybe they'll be successful at it. They really have to be successful at it. This is where they have to win and they have to get their act together. But you have four right now. And I mentioned on last week's blog, what are the differences between these solutions? A big driving force in the cloud is containers. And at this point, Amazon supports containers. Azure will support containers if they don't already. And Google supports containers. They're actually a very big supporter of the container protocol in general. Regarding pricing, in the majority of cases, more than 80% of your cloud infrastructure costs are for compute resources. In AWS, they have a system where on-demand instances are the most expensive, and you pay by hour. You can do reserved instances, and you can make a commitment for 1 or 3 years, and you can get up to 75% off. With Azure, many enterprise customers have Microsoft Enterprise Agreements that include discounts for Azure ranging from 10 to 36%. If you don't have a Microsoft Enterprise Agreement, you can still purchase prepaid subscriptions, which provide a discount over on-demand pricing. Google automatically gives the best price with its standard use discounts. The on-demand price is based on how long you use the specific instance. Let's say you only use 25% of a billing period, you'll get the on-demand pricing. But if you use 50, 75, or 100% during the billing period, you'll get higher discounts. The nice thing about Google is you don't need to pre-purchase or make these decisions ahead of time because the discounts are applied automatically, so you get the best price. IBM's cloud solution has two pricing options: on-demand with pre-hour prices or a monthly commitment. If you choose monthly, you get a cheaper rate. What's interesting with Google and SoftLayer, which is IBM again, is that you can have custom instance types. So if you need a specific configuration, you can get that on the cloud. But with AWS and Azure, you might need to over-provision the RAM or the CPU to get the instance parameters that you want. Custom instance types can help you save money by creating the optimal combination of CPU and RAM for your needs. The good news is, as all of these companies flood into the cloud market, the prices are getting lower. They're getting more competitive. Oracle really hasn't released their cloud platform yet. Not truly, but they are committing to being the cheapest. They said that they are going to blow Amazon out of the water when it comes to pricing. And Oracle could have a real shot at this. Think about how database-driven everything is. All of the applications need a solid database to work from. And if Oracle is bringing their best-in-class database products to the cloud and making these options available, and it's easy to spin these things up, they can be a very attractive provider for a company. So as these companies shift from traditional perpetual licensing models to subscription cloud-based models, from a procurement perspective, these categories are changing. Many procurement groups like to organize their people into categories. So you have this subject matter expertise in these category plans. But as these products change and companies get acquired, and traditional hardware companies and technology companies by marketing firms and healthcare companies, the line is becoming blurred as to what the category is and how these companies fit into them. Think about it this way. There may be a time in the near future where Google, this company that we have just been talking about as a cloud provider, may sell you a car. Heck, they may not even sell you the car. Maybe they'll just rent you the ride. So yes, a lot has changed in a year. And the next time we celebrate an episode milestone, things will have changed a lot more. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music is provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.